morning, church. I mean, it's the morning of Christmas Eve, so yeah, welcome to Thursday EMP, the last one of this week, and the last one of this Advent season. Yeah, let us start with the word of prayer, and then we'll dive into our reading this morning. God, we thank you for this morning as we come together to dive into your word today, this morning. And so, God, we just ask that you speak to us through another part of your coming of Jesus story. We pray that, yeah, that you will speak to us through Joseph's encounter with the angel this morning. So we thank you, Abba Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let us go to Matthew 1:18-25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after she had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." All this took place to fulfill the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So in the past few weeks, during this time of Advent, we've looked into different characters from the time around Jesus' early childhood. For hope, we looked at Anna and Simeon's story of expectation and God's kept promises. For peace, we looked at the shepherd's encounter with angels and visit to Jesus. Last week for joy, we looked at the three wise men and how joy runneth over into gifts and singing and praise and worship. And so this morning, as we dive into this final theme, this final Advent theme of love, we will be taking a look at Mary and Joseph. So a short background story of Mary and Joseph. As mentioned in the passage we just read, and in the Gospel of Luke, when we first meet Mary and Joseph, they are not married yet. But they were engaged. And she would be pregnant with Jesus during their engagement. And so Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, which was near the northern border of Israel. However, we also know that Joseph is in the line of David. Hence, therefore, Mary and Joseph had to make their way to Bethlehem per the government's decree for the census. Joseph was known to be a carpenter, but more properly translated, the word would be technon, which meant craftsman. So not necessarily a woodworker per se. This we know through later on in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark when he was challenged and called the quote unquote the carpenter's son or the son of the technon, I guess. And so, yeah, just a little bit of Joseph and Mary's background. It is also Joseph himself, the name Jesus' father, is not mentioned after. In the gospel, in terms of chronologically, later on in Jesus's life. And even then his name wasn't mentioned. It was just mentioned as Jesus's parents, when they took, their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple, and there when Jesus was around teenage years, around 12 or 13 or so. And so, but after that, there's no really references to Joseph, his father, other than Joseph as as the father from other people, but not Joseph the person. So that is something to take note of in terms of where Joseph is in terms of the life of Jesus. And so we'll look into the reading today. Joseph was already engaged to Mary, as I mentioned, when he found out that she was pregnant and definitely not with his child. Joseph had every reason to cause a lot of trouble, right? He could have, to seek divorce and then also to publicly shame Mary. But as scripture, as the scripture we read today, he didn't have that in his heart, right? Like he did not want to do such a thing. He wanted to keep faithful to the law by doing things on the down low, to just divorce her which was within his right, as it's assumed that she was cheating on him because she was pregnant. And so, but to divorce her on the down low, quietly, and just to move on. But in a dream, an angel shows up and tells that Mary's child is not from another man, but rather through the Holy Spirit. The angel gives further instructions to not divorce Mary and to also name their child, Jesus. And Joseph, as we read, does all of this without question. He complies. And so, as I read this narrative, I think about what Joseph must have been going through. And this is all projection, right? Because we don't really see this, we don't really read this in the word. But I just think about, what Joseph must have been going through, right? He finds out that his wife is going to be having a child with someone else. And now, since virgin conception of a child is not a typical way of getting pregnant, Joseph seriously, and within his, within common, sense, consider separation and divorce from Mary because it's assumed that she was cheating on him, or at least like she's no longer a virgin, and that she's already been with someone else. But even then, right, Joseph was still attempting to be honorable towards Mary, right? As we read in verse 19, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, even when it was presumed that she had wronged him, right? You read in the tabloids all the time when celebrities break up, it's this giant thing that's blown up, and then you read about how things are getting messy. Like there is definitely no honors being sought by many parties when they go through a public breakup or a divorce, right? Whether you're a celebrity or not. And so, that's the first thing that I'm just amazed by, right? About how Joseph wanting to honor Mary, even in a place where, yeah, I would feel that, in a typical setting, one would assume that Mary has wronged Joseph. But Joseph did not want to put her on blast, which would have been to his advantage as well, because he would have gotten away to clear his name and his reputation, right? Like he would be able to come out of this clean and still been able to seek a wife without, a bad reputation. Now, I'm not sure how bad the stigma of divorces back in biblical times. I could only assume it would be pretty bad, especially for the women. But even in modern day 2020 culture, divorce still gets a pretty, it's still pretty bad stigma in it, right? Even though it's quite normalized, in our modern day culture, right? And so, divorce would be a source of gossip and ultimately a great source of shame for many people involved. I had a friend who was telling me, who was joking one time, telling the story about how she was trying to you know, she was trying to be cheeky at a family gathering once, and she was asking a few of the aunties about, you know, any family secrets, right? She started with, oh, have there been any uncles or cousins that have ever been, you know, been to jail or convicted of any petty crime? The aunties would laugh it off and say, of course not, La. And then, you know, then she would ask them, like, oh, have they committed any serious felonies, like murder? The aunties, once again, they laughed it off as a silly joke. Then my friend asked, has anyone in the family ever gotten divorced and, or had a secret kid, you know, hiding around or something like that? And then, like, you know, her auntie snapped at her and was like, you better shut your mouth. And was like, you know, my friend was cracking up because, you know, the serious stuff, you know, stuff that you would go to jail for, the aunties would laugh it off. But like something that is relatively commonly accepted in secular world these days, like divorce, you know, this response from the auntie seems to be extremely disproportionate, right? But it does show that culturally, I think family or domestic related drama is still considered to be something that's very taboo. And I think many times within a church setting as well. And so for Joseph, as I'm reading this, what I'm so drawn to is his willingness to not bring shame upon Mary. As, you know, in the beginning of what we were reading, this is something, this is before he even knew about the Holy Spirit being the one responsible for the baby inside of Mary, and probably assumed another man was in the picture. But yeah, even before that, he wanted to honor, you know, to not bring shame upon Mary. And so Joseph was willing to lay down his rights to speak about Mary's pregnancy, knowing very well that it would paint Mary in a bad light. In our modern time, this topic of laying down our rights has been quite prominent, and not just this past year, right? With whether it's protest or whatever you read on the news from around the world, you know, different people having to deal with COVID restrictions and not being happy with it. But a lot of this idea of laying down, these thoughts that I had about laying down our rights came within the prominence of the golden age of information and the internet. When people now have platforms to fight for every right that they can dream of, all under the guise of the right to freedom of speech. And the more we feed this combative mindset, what I've noticed is that, you know, this need of being right, the less we would remember how to humble ourselves before one another. I mean, obviously before God, but also amongst one another, and to lay down our rights sometimes, right? The less that we would remember that laying down our rights in certain times is necessary for the betterment of your community, for the betterment of everyone in some sense. Whether it be in society, like we are right now with like things like COVID restrictions, or at work, in the way that we treat our subordinates or our peers or our supervisors, or even in our church communities, in our house churches, in our serving, in our different ministries. One of the things that I hate is this phrase, I told you so. Especially when dealing with actual important situations, right? Not just joking situations where we're laughing at friends when over something silly, but like work or actual relationship problems. It's one of those phrases that really adds nothing to a situation except to bring more shame and frustration to a person that messed something up. This phrase, I told you so, always brings me back to something Bruce Wayne's butler and caretaker Alfred said in The Dark Knight, when he shares his concern to Bruce about the position that he is putting himself in as Batman, right? The way that he would be a vigilante at night, and how he will fall significantly one day. Bruce says to him, to Alfred, we know how much you like saying, I told you so, to which Alfred replies, and on that day, even I won't want to, right? See, I told you so is a phrase that really, yeah, like I said, does nothing to the situation but to prop the correct party up, right? While bringing down whoever it is that you're, saying that phrase to. In a modern world, it's in which we are expecting to prop ourselves up, right, and bring others down to succeed. Perhaps what we need to do is to introduce a bit of grace and mercy into everything, to lay down our rights so that others may rise. Now, laying down our rights is essential to any relationship built on love, whether it's fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, in a romantic relationship with our significant other, in our spiritual relationship with God. All loving relationships will ask us to lay our rights down at some point. It may not be fully, well, with God, it'll be, that's what God will ask us. But it may not be fully, but the way that I think of it is, especially with my spouse, with Eunice, is this idea that if I spend my time loving on her, I trust that she would spend her time loving me back, right? That is the step of faith that I'm taking, that I will lay this down because I trust that she is able to love me back in the way that I would need, and that I have no worries to think about in terms of, oh, I need to take this for myself now. I need to spend time to love myself. I will choose to prop myself over her. Yeah, I don't have to think like that because I trust that she will love me back in the same way. And so throughout Advent, we've been circling around this birth of Jesus, exploring different themes and looking into different characters. And I spoke about how these four themes are a progression, right? Going from hope to peace, peace becoming joy. And in response to joy that we learned last week, we go forth and respond in love. God demonstrates his love for us by laying down his life for us. As Christ laid down his right to be the Father, as Christ lays down his right to be with the Father, instead to come into his creation, into God's creation, to do the hard work of fulfilling the law, he lays down his rights to perform miracles as he gets tempted by the devil. He lays down his rights for rest so that he could be with the people that comes to him. He lays down his rights to condemn the soldiers who were mocking him during the crucifixion. And ultimately, he lays down his power to come off the cross and let the people know that he's God. And so as we go into a time of worship this morning, I want us to reflect on this idea. What are rights that you need to lay down this season? As an act of love in the different community that you are in, how can you introduce grace and mercy into these areas in the same way that Christ laid down his own rights? So we're going to pass this off to Monica, and she'll lead us in a time of worship.
Came to me in kindness.
Before we dive into the community prayer, let us spend a quick minute and just conversing about God, you know, in the areas that you need to lay down some rights and to introduce a bit of mercy and grace to those communities, maybe work, your families, specific friends, or even at church, in your house churches. So let's go to God. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's first pray for those who are going through a cancer process, for those that are going through treatment, chemo, radiation, and surgery. Also, not just pray for those who are with cancer, but also pray for those who are fighting alongside their family members or friends. Let's lift up those who are sick, but also need the word of God. Let's lift up those who are, yeah, in need of healing and are in need of the Lord's words of salvation. Pray for also for those who have requested them to be on this list, that they would continue to act as God's light for their friends and family. Let's lift up those in our community who are dealing with non-cancer related infirmities. Pray for those in our community who are seeking a job. May God bring providence and Sabbath during this time. Let's go to our Thursday focus. Let's lift up our church plants from the Southeast Asia region. So this is the SDSG with Pastor Sam Kim. I believe they are now able to meet fully down in Singapore, so praise the Lord. Let's lift up Spin and Pastor Salamat, as well as Pastor Ernie for Spill, that as they continue to figure out how to gather their congregation on Sundays here in Hong Kong, that everything will just be smooth and no one will be left behind. Let's pray over our education ministries. Let's lift up SB Kids and P. Mary and Lisa. Let's lift up SP Youth and myself. And then pray also for SPU and P. Andrew. Pray for us during this time that we are meeting over online, especially that there'll be creative ways where we can engage with all the different kids that we are overseeing. So. Thank you. hands, lift up our prayer and healing ministries, IP led by Matt, that they would continue to just receive from the Lord as a unit. So lift up the well and the river with Rachel. Let's lift up our evening outreaches that's going on, well, normally scheduled for Thursday. So let's lift up SP Lights to those who are going to go out to the Red Light District to minister to all the folks out there. And also cover our homie ministry, though they are not meeting officially right now, that they're able to continue to keep the relationship that they have with the elderly and the poor. Finally, let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's continue to pray for zero cases. Pray for whatever news regarding COVID comes out, that we as a city are not going to just jump to the worst conclusion that we could possibly find. That we especially as the church, you know, as God's people, continue to just go through the season with a lot of hope and faith in Christ Jesus and not on anything else. And that we as a city continue to have the mental capacity to continue on with these COVID restrictions and not be overly stressed of having to be, you know, stuck at home or things like that. So let's lift up Hong Kong. Let us close. God, you enter our lives and call us to be one to hearing the cries of people who feel lost and alienated, who feel that no one cares or ever will care about them. Help us practice love and action with family, friends, and strangers as we seek to learn how to love unconditionally and share your love with others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us on this Christmas Eve morning. Just a reminder, there is no EMP tomorrow as it is Christmas. I do not believe there is CMP either on Saturday, so we will see you on Sunday. Well, we'll see us on Sunday. But yeah, have a wonderful Christmas Eve. Have a wonderful Christmas day. May you be filled with joy and family. And yeah, so we'll see you next week.